Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, the final hour here. You know what that means. I am here with my friend, my buddy, Casey Bubba, at BDentric on the Twitter. Casey, what's going on, man? How's your week?
It's been a fun week. You know, same old, working the grind, trying to stay safe and clean and never use so much hand sanitizer in all my life. But here we are, and sports are coming. They are coming. It's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they're right around the corner. I mean, they just announced that NASCAR is coming back on May 17th. I'm not the biggest NASCAR guy, but...
You are now.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know. Yep. I could throw a couple bucks on it, so that makes it very, very watchable for sure. A lot like the NFL draft, but are you going to... Have you ever been into NASCAR? Because I went through, like, a NASCAR phase where I would, like, you know, have some buddies over... we'd break open like a 30-pack of Coors and grill and watch the race for, you know, on a Sunday or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. Similar thing. I went through a phase where I was really into it. I was in like a fantasy NASCAR league and everything.
I did that too, yeah.
So I did all that, and I'll still sit and watch a race once in a while, especially if I need a nap on a Sunday.
Right.
Like it's really good for that. And there's some guys around here that are pretty hardcore into it. It's like Saturday night races. They'll do the big barbecue and stuff at their house. Those are fun, but... I'm not like, it's not must-see TV for me, but I get the appeal. It's entertaining. It's just, I can't say too much because I love golf and I understand the hate there. It's similar in NASCAR. Just a lot of left turns gets a little old after a while.
I don't understand hate for anything. I do like, you know, I'll poke fun at hockey or golf or whatever a little bit, but I'm never going to just out and out be hateful against it. You know what I mean?
And that makes sense. And there's no need to because we all have what we like. It's a beautiful thing about that is, we can all like different things and all get along and have a great time. So I've never understood it. NASCAR kind of has a bad rap, but it shouldn't. It's still a lot of fun, and the fans are just as passionate for NASCAR as they are for other sports.
Well, isn't NASCAR, and I don't mean to, you know, throw stones. Now, see, I'm feeling like I'm already doing it.
Here we go. Here comes the hate.
But aren't they the only sport that's had someone suspended because of meth?
Probably. Unless it maybe Russian hockey. I'm not sure. But
or Russian anything. Right.
Yeah, in the U.S., probably. Okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's the bad rap that I think. I don't even, you know, like it being rednecky, whatever. You know, who cares? Rednecks are part of the American culture, so why wouldn't you include them? You know?
And we can have a darn good party, too, so don't knock until
you
try
right.
it.
That's right. All us rednecks. We're part of this community. You understand? So
I go to if I ever went to a NASCAR event, I wouldn't be the only Bubba there. It'd be crazy.
Oh no, are you kidding me? Yeah, it'd be the first time where there's fewer Scots and more Bubbas.
So. You'd feel small too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like going to a Walmart on Black Friday, right? It's the same deal. So, but we are going to be talking about the NFC South. The Welsh and I have covered the rest between the week. You and I, of course, did the East on Monday. But let's just fire it up here, and let's start with the Atlanta Falcons in the South. And, you know, coming into the draft, really what they needed was defense. I don't know how much Falcons football you got to watch last year, Bubba, but Joe described them as, 10-ply soft, this Falcons defense. And it was brutal, and they had injury stuff, but really the big thing with them was getting pressures on the quarterback, 30th in the league last year in QB pressures. They signed Fowler, and Tack McKinley has just been average. So they added there, and they added to the secondary with cornerback A.J. Terrell from Clemson being their first pick. Marlon Davidson, the edge rusher from Auburn, going in the second to them. They used their third round on Matt Hennessy, an interior offensive lineman from Temple. Mykel Walker from Fresno State, the linebacker, was their first fourth-round pick. And I actually... a couple of the articles I've been reading about the draft grades and stuff of that nature had Mykel Walker as maybe the best pick for this Falcons squad because they need to rack up some tackles. They went Jalen Hawkins with their second fourth-round pick, and then they didn't pick again until the seventh round, and they wound up taking Sterling Hoffrichter, I think is how you say his name, a kicker out of Syracuse that I've never heard of or care about because he's a kicker. So how did you think that the Falcons ended up doing in this draft, Bubba?
Well, it's not flashy by any means, but it's like you said, is their defense, it was atrocious in multiple years past. It's just been a bad, bad spot for them, and they definitely addressed it through the offseason and then in signings and now through the draft. When you only have one offensive player, not counting the kicker, that tells you a lot of what's going on with their main focus, their needs, how they approach the draft. So I'm not going to act like I'm an expert at all of these deeper defensive players, but I think it's a very, very smart move. I know Hawkins is actually sneaky nice out of Cal. I've seen him play out here quite a bit. So I think that's nice. It's nothing fantasy relevant wise, but it should make this team a lot better, help them. You know, you play the Saints twice a year. You're going to have a Matt Rhule, probably more excited offense in Carolina coming out. The South will put up some points, and that's going to be something the Falcons need to deal with. And they've definitely taken care of that. You know, offensively, they already signed Gurley and Hurst. They had tons of weapons. So they didn't really have to approach that. They want to win now with Ryan and Jones before it's all said and done. Get that defense shored up, help Ryan out some. I like it. I'm just curious with Hoffrichter, does that mean Matt Bryant is done for good? That's a concern.
Yeah, I mean, when you draft a guy, you're absolutely right. It usually means that they're going to stick on the squad for a little while. So that could, they had like pick 228 out of 255. So it could just be like, we like this kid. Maybe he'll push Bryant. So they're bringing him in. But I think in this draft specifically, and maybe I'm talking out my ass here, but I feel like there was just so much talent still left on the board in the seventh round that if you're taking a kicker, that's probably going to be your kicker for the foreseeable future. So you're probably right about that. I'm not going to say surprised, but I guess I expected them to take a running back at some point here. Were you a little surprised that they didn't move towards running back either? I mean,
They signed Gurley, but he's going to get hurt again. They obviously lost Freeman, and that backfield just getting depleted one after another. I guess that is a good point. They probably should have addressed that. My guess is it didn't fall to them because it was really weird going into the draft the few days prior till even on draft day. I know you heard it, and I heard it, that they were supposed to be like the most aggressive team trading up in the draft, and they never moved.
Right.
So it was really weird to see that. It seemed like they wanted guys. They couldn't get to the guys they wanted, so they kept with what they had, and maybe they wanted running backs, and it just didn't work out that way. So it'll be interesting to see who they bring in here. Like, you know, Breida would have been a great move for them with one of their picks, but they do need another running back. It's a good point.
Yeah, I was just a little surprised that they didn't take somebody. Now, once again, they're a little hamstrung with their picks, but I just figured maybe trade back up for one or something. What do you I want to look up this win total. All right, what would you set the win total at? You're not looking at it, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so what would you set it at for the 2020 Atlanta Falcons?
Over under 8.5, 9, 7. Wow,
is the number for the Falcons. And I think it's because of the division. You're bringing Brady into this division. You have Breeze, and you have a new coach in Carolina in Matt Rhule. So I think that's kind of the surprising logic here. So I'm thinking that if you're setting it at 8.5, you'd probably take the over on the Falcons then, right?
I would take the over on a 7, yeah. Like, I'm not saying they're going to be great by any means. Tampa Bay is going to be better. Like you said, Saints are the class of the NFC. But I see this as a 500 football team. If the breaks go the right way, they should be able to win some extra games maybe. The offense is going to be good. So to see them get so much, not to say disrespect's the right word, but I don't see the Panthers being great this year. That's a surprising number to me. I guess the more you think about it, 8's probably more accurate, but 7 seemed a little low to me.
Now, take into account that they were limited on picks, the Falcons were, what do you think their draft grade was? What number 1 through 32 do you think they would have with this class?
Let's say 25.
27. So you're pretty close on that. The people that were the teams that got ranked lower than them: Eagles, Raiders, Seahawks, Texans, and Packers, of course. Hmm. So way down there. Highest grade that they got. They didn't get B's anywhere on this. And once again, this is from Renee Bugner at RNBWCV on the Twitter. Highest grade was B+. From Chad Reuter and Andy Benoit. Benoit, and then after that, D from Thor, who was the hardest grader from Roto World. Let's go over to the Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers, you know, kind of a historic draft because for the first time ever, every single pick that they spent was on the defensive side. And no other team has done that in the modern draft era. So they started out at 1.7, going with Derek Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn, which I thought was the right pick for them. They went with Yrigoros Matos, the edge rusher from Penn State, in the second round. They had another second-round pick from the Seahawks when they took Jeremy Chinn, the safety from Southern Illinois, so the Salukis getting on the board. They went Troy Pride Jr., the corner from Notre Dame, in the fourth. Kenny Robinson, the safety from West Virginia, is kind of an interesting story, Bubba. I don't know if you saw this, because he got booted from West Virginia, but he played.
How do you get booted from West Virginia?
I don't know what he did, but he did something not great. He got booted off West Virginia, but he played in the XFL.
Oh, wow.
And he was draft eligible here. So it was something weird where...
How does that work?
Well, he was able to circumnavigate the rules because he was kicked off the team. So he wasn't eligible to play college football anymore anyway. So I think the XFL just said, okay, we'll sign you. Braby and Roy, the defensive tackle from Baylor, who Matt Rule, of course, knows, and Stanley Thomas Oliver, the third, the cornerback from FIU. So very interesting draft. I mean, they needed a lot of defense coming in, particularly at defensive tackle, somebody to go next to K.K. Short. So I thought they actually did a pretty damn good job for only drafting one side of the football. But what do you think of this one, Bubba?
I think they did a great job for only addressing one side of the football. They addressed the offensive side in free agency this year, you know, bringing in Bridgewater, Robbie Anderson, and some other maybe lesser receivers and whatnot. And they needed to address the defense. I just said it with the Falcons. This is a powerful division. You got Brady and company is going to throw the ball around with Arians. You have the Saints who are going to put up all kinds of points. The Falcons will put up points. The Panthers need to make it happen. At the same time, Rule signed a 7-year deal. So he's building his team for like 3 years from now.
Yeah.
He's getting his defense set up. If they lose a bunch of games, he goes and gets Trevor Lawrence next year. Like he doesn't like he's just building up. He doesn't want to waste, you know, we talk about a running back's life is only 4 to 5 years. He drafts a running back this year, that's not gonna work. Why draft a big time receiver when you got Anderson and company and Bridgewater as your quarterback? He's building his defense. He's gonna go with that. Then he'll start working on his offense. He's not focusing on this year, he's focusing for 2 to 3 years from now. I think it's a great draft because that Brown pick's huge. Some of these other picks like Matos that we talked about him a lot on the live shows, falling this far was big. This was a really, really good draft. It's going to go probably, you know, frowned upon a little because it's nothing crazy to help him now. But in the end, I think it helps him a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, you know, exactly what you said rings true, of course, because Matt Rule is known to be an offensive guy. So I think what he really wants to do is bring these weapons in and just kind of see what he can do with what's already on the roster. So let's add what I'm not strong at on the defensive side, because that's what they needed anyway. They needed way more defensive pieces anyway. So I think he's kind of helping himself there and then saying, we'll see what I can do with some of these offensive pieces, which, you know, I'm a little bit worried in fantasy terms of Christian McCaffrey for this year, of course, because he's just not going to get the ball 400 and whatever times like he did last year.
Or he's going to get it a lot, and he's going to get hit a lot for no reason.
Right, right, which doesn't make sense. So I think we'll kind of move him back. So what would you give the over-under wins for the Carolina Panthers for 2020, Bubba?
Over-under 4.5.
5.5 is the number. So you'd be taking the under. Yeah,
yes.
For sure. And that's what, you know, a buddy of mine called me. He was like, who is going to be last in that division? Every team's good. I'm like, Carolina, dude. New coaching
staff.
That's
a no-brainer.
Yeah, new coaching staff. And brand new quarterback and all that stuff, like it's just kind of obvious, you know. Even though they could be good, I mean, I would put them above, you know, two or three teams in some other divisions for sure. But I really like the stacking of the defensive players because they got three starters immediately, at least on Pro Football Focus. They've got Pride starting across from Jackson at corner, Brown and Gross Matos all in that starting lineup. And, you know, they've spent on offense before, like, you said they drafted Christian McCaffrey 3 years ago, DJ Moore 2 years ago. They spent on Robbie Anderson. They still have Curtis Samuel. And they spent a ton of money on Teddy Bridgewater, so they're hoping he works out. So I kind of like this draft that they did, even though it was all on the defensive side. And they're like middle of the pack. I think they're about 12 here, somewhere in that range as far as the grades go. The lowest one they got was a C+ from Ryan Dunleavy for the New York Post. But everyone else, there's an A from Thor, who's the toughest grader. I'm looking at the wrong line. They didn't get a D. They didn't get a D anywhere. Actually, they floated between A and I think B. Even B minus. Between A and B for everything. A couple B pluses, but A's and B's from everyone, which put them right around the middle of the pack, which is kind of surprising here, them being dead in the middle. But the division winner thing here, let me take a look at that and give you their plus numbers. Because I don't think either one of us are going to be taking the Panthers.
No,
but
not a chance.
Let's see. Let's just take a look.
Got to be at least plus 1,000.
Plus 2,000?
Yeah. It was going to be a long one.
2,000! Oh, my God.
You put $1 on that, Boggs. You never know.
Yeah, that's fine. The Falcons plus 1,000. And, of course, the best teams in this division, like we just mentioned, the Saints and the Bucks, much, much higher. Do you think what's your overall opinion on Teddy Bridgewater?
I think we said this on a lot of guys. I think he's a good backup quarterback. I'm not sold on him being full-time. It didn't help when the Saints literally never made him throw the ball down the field. We know he can. We've seen him do it. But last year was more of a game management situation. That's not going to work here in Carolina when he's going to be running for his life at times, getting throttled. Could be fun for fantasy because he's throwing it all over the place. I'm more intrigued on what P.J. Walker does this year because they're blowouts. Rural coached Walker back at Temple. He likes Walker. So I think there's something there. They brought him in for a reason. I'm just intrigued. I know they paid Teddy a lot of money. But Walker's that athletic guy that could be quite interesting.
And they should be losing a lot, so yes. There should be plenty of yards to be had there. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Teddy Two Gloves, probably more of a backup, but they're going to give him a shot. And, you guys got to stick with us. We're going to be right back after the break. Give us another shot like Teddy Bridgewater is getting. And we're talking about the Bucks and why did I already forget the team?
Saints.
The Saints, thank you. The Bucks and the Saints. After this break, we'll be right back. ITL on the Sports Grid after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. In This League, on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me on the Twitter, @BogdanSports. I'm here with Casey Bubba @BDEntric. Casey, plug everything you've got going on, man.
It's like usual, same old. Find me on Twitter @BDEntric. Benched with Bubba podcast. Got two episodes out this week. Took a little breather this week compared to normal, but we'll be back up and at it again next week. I was on the RotoWire podcast this week. That was fun. Go check out my written work at RotoBaller. A lot of good stuff coming up there. I said an article on some players that might benefit from the DH in the National League. So go check that out.
So we're moving on to the Saints here in our draft recap per team episodes here. And they only had four picks in this draft. And I think all of these picks were decent. But I think also the very first pick was insanely surprising to me. They took Cesar Ruiz at 24 overall, the center from Michigan. And the only problem that they had on the line was with the guy that they're paying the most money, by the way, and Andres Pete. And, you know, I'm looking more at PFF grades than anything because I don't sit and evaluate offensive line play. But, you know, he was the only one that wasn't, I believe, top 10 at his position last year. Yeah, on the line, as far as PFF grades, the only guy that wasn't top 10 at their position was Pete, who was 70 out of 81 as far as guards go. So I think Ruiz will probably play guard. I don't know if he'll play left or right. Or maybe they move him to center and move McCoy to left guard or right guard. That could be a possibility as well. But they do have more of a glaring need, I thought, at middle linebacker. You know, we talked about it a little bit. Kiko Alonso is still grayed out well, but he's getting long in the tooth. Alex Anzalone, who they took out of Florida a couple of years ago, just hasn't really panned out. So I thought middle linebacker, and the Chargers obviously did too, because they traded up to get one spot ahead of the Saints to draft Kenneth Murray there. So I was just a little bit shocked when they took Cesar Ruiz. Were you surprised when they got Cesar Ruiz, or were you just kind of like, yeah, that's the benefit of having one of the best rosters. You can just go BPA.
That's pretty much what it was, because I was hoping Ruiz would fall two more picks to the Dolphins. I was really hoping that when Ruiz went to the Saints, I was shocked, but it made a ton of sense. Like, okay, you gave Breeze another couple years there. Let's protect the man. It's that simple. He's giving 50 mil for 2 years. Let's protect him with one of the best inside linemen out there, especially if you know, they're having issues at the guard position. It made a ton of sense. Get the best available player, throw him out there. And we've seen how, you know, valuable some of these linemen can be early on in drafts. So it's a great pick for them. It shocked me. Like, literally, like you said, best available player. I kind of wish he would have fell a little farther.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was thinking that, to be honest, I thought that the Cowboys might take him where they took CeeDee Lamb. At,
yeah, would have made sense.
Because Travis Frederick retired. He's an all-pro center. It's hard to replace someone of that caliber. But, I mean, you take a first-round center, that guy is usually going to stick around for a while. But so they took Cesar Ruiz. They didn't have another pick until the third at 74 overall, where they took Zach Bond, the edge rusher from Wisconsin, who fell quite a bit.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I know you love your Badgers. You know, he had – what was it with his test? Was his test diluted? Might have been.
Yeah,
there was something going on.
It was diluted. Like, there was probably too much dairy. Cheese curds got in the way, something along those lines.
Well, then all my tests are going to be diluted as well. But he fell all the way to them at 374. Another pick that I thought, man, you know, they didn't absolutely need an edge rusher, but you put someone else on there, you know, when Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport are out on the field, now you have Bond as a rotational pass rusher. That's pretty damn good. That's just adding all kinds of depth. Then they traded the rest of their draft picks in this draft to get Adam Trautman, the tight end from Dayton, which was surprising to me. Not that he fell to pick 105. I mean, I could have seen him going as high as the second round. He was the top tight end on my board. I like him and Komet a lot, but I like Trautman a little bit better just for the, you know, receiving acumen that he has, and I'm such a fantasy nerd. So it was weird to see them trade four picks to move up to get Trautman. I feel like that just means they really, really like this guy, right?
Yeah, it's got to be what it is. You know, Jared Cook, he was good last year, but he's getting older. The other backups for the Saints haven't really been much. We know how Breeze, he loves to throw it all over the place. He's got Thomas. They grabbed Sanders this offseason. There's weapons there, but a good tight end in the red zone, there's not much more valuable assets to that in football. And you get a guy like Trautman, who has that athletic ability like you talked about on previous shows. That's a huge move there. That feels like one of those that Drew Brees made a phone call at about pick 100 and goes, you see this kid still on the board? I could use him the next 2 years. Make it happen.
And they listened, unlike the Packers front office.
Poor Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I feel poor for him. Well, it's so terrible. You know, I don't feel bad for Aaron Rodgers at all. But he also beat my team in Super Bowl 45, so I'm a little bitter. But then, I don't know if you read this, Bubba, but this Tommy Stevens pick at 240 overall in the seventh round was a bit ridiculous. They traded their sixth-round pick next year to move into the seventh round, 15 spots away from the end of the draft, to take Tommy Stevens. And the reason they did that is, from what I read today, was because they had heard that Tommy Stevens promised Matt Rhule he would sign there as a UDFA should he not get drafted. So he promised, the Panthers. And then the Saints traded back into the end of the draft to scoop him up. And now that they signed Jameis Winston post-draft, I feel like there's not room for Tommy Stevens on this roster anyway, because they're paying Taysom Hill $16 million, by the way. Breeze is getting his 25 or whatever it is, and I don't even know what they just paid Winston. But then they're going to carry Tommy Stevens on this roster too? I mean, the dude better get geared up and ready to play special teams, right?
Yeah, Tommy Stevens, that's basically their wannabe Taysom Hill when Taysom Hill leaves, because Stevens did have a little bit of mobility, not Taysom Hill mobility. I'm not going to go that far. But he did have he went to Mississippi State. They tried to pump him up as like the next Dak Prescott at Mississippi State. He definitely did not get to that level, but that was their whole idea there. You know, he's going to be a shotgun quarterback, be able to run pass option once in a while. Didn't quite work out, but that's a very interesting story about the Panthers and Matt Rhule. That is hilarious to me. That is pretty vindictive of the Saints, but more power to him. The story you're burying right now, you're burying the lead. When you just said you didn't know how much Jameis Winston got paid, I'm going to give you one guess.
The league minimum?
Close enough. I think he's getting like $1.1 million, something along those lines. He's getting next to nothing to be the backup quarterback. Taysom Hill is making about $14.5 million more than Jameis Winston this year. It's bananas.
Yeah. It's they spent too much on Taysom Hill. I like Taysom Hill. He was fun to watch at BYU. Constantly hurt. Got a medical red shirt. I think he ended up playing 6 years at BYU because of the medical red shirt that he got for.
It was like a Mormon mission.
Right. I think it was his second senior year when he really broke out, of course. But, I mean, the dude is just fragile. You can put this amazing offensive lineup. It doesn't really matter. Taysom Hill, if he's on the field for 25 snaps, he's probably going to get hurt.
That's just
and it's weird to me that he's so injury prone to BYU and now he's playing special teams, you know. So if they want Tommy Stevens to do that, who I thought was I kind of do get Nick Fitzgerald and Tommy Stevens mixed up a little bit, because they're both guys that probably needed to switch positions to tight end. Now if you're Tommy Stevens, you're getting drafted to the Saints, who already have a blueprint of what they're doing with Taysom Hill, then yeah, sure, go play that whatever pistol wild card role is, do that. Yeah. I do like that for him, but him and Nick Fitzgerald, for whatever reason, Mississippi State has had quarterbacks that just do not convert to the pros. But one of the biggest prospects in next year's class potentially is KJ Costello, who is transferring from Stanford to go to Mississippi State because Mike Leach is leaving from Washington State to go to Mississippi State. And the last two quarterbacks for Washington State both got, I don't think Anthony Gordon got drafted. He didn't get immediately signed, but Gardner Minshew is a starter now in the NFL. So there's pedigree there, and Stanford is just a heaping mess right now. Plus, the Welsh and I were talking about the college football stuff and how they want to play on Saturdays, and you know how California may not even let teams play, and what a big mess that's going to be. So,
yeah, don't get me started on California right now. It's really painful watching what's going on out here. But the Stanford, they don't know how to do the forward pass very well, so that's a great move by the head to Mississippi State.
And that's that's where Christian McCaffrey came from. There's plenty of good athletes that come out of Stanford. Tons of tight ends, but
there was a great running back. Do you remember his name before Christian McCaffrey? He went to the Minnesota Vikings.
Why am I not remembering who this is?
Toby Gerhart.
Oh, Toby Gerhart. God. I was like, am I really forgetting someone real good? I mean,
wiped out big time.
Yeah, Toby Gerhart, not so much. Not so much. Peyton Hillis better than Toby Gerhart.
True.
What do you think the over-under on wins for the New Orleans Saints for 2020 is?
This is good. I'm going to go 13.
It's 10.
What?
Over-under 10 pays the same. Minus 110 on DraftKings.
I'll take over.
Yeah, I would take the over, too. I think it's because of the division, though. You know,
it's
you
a tougher
play.
Division. It's hard to repeat because one thing that people forget, maybe they don't, but maybe they do, when you win a division, now you got to face the divisional winners from the other conferences. So your schedule's tougher the next year.
Right.
So that maybe that's what they're factoring in there, that you know, the three other conference games, maybe they go 1-2 or 2-1. Then again, the Patriots aren't going to be as good and stuff like that. So it's interesting, but that's something you got to think about. Now they got to go play the Chiefs or whatever, or some of these other teams that they might not have played before.
They are actually not the favorite to win the division either. The Bucs are favored. But for the NFC, they're actually third as well. Niners plus 475, best odds to win the NFC. The Bucs at plus 600, the Saints at plus 700, Cowboys plus 9, Eagles plus 1,000, Seahawks plus 1,100, Vikings 12, Packers 14, and then the Rams plus 1,600. If you had to bet on one of those, who do you think you would take?
I do like the Saints. I like Tampa Bay. I'm not knocking. I think they'll be pretty darn good. I think the Saints and the Niners are the class of the West still. I know it's pretty simple taking the guys up top, but they're just that much more of a team to me than some of these other organizations trying to put it together. So I'd probably go Saints just for the value. But the caveat here that I want to mention, if we play a season with no fans, they lose a tremendous edge. That helps them so much in football.
Like, yeah, the Superdome gets a
humongous edge. So that's a big factor that I don't think people might want to consider. That's literally going to cost them a game or two down the road at some point in time.
And I think, you know, this 10 number is also not extremely surprising when you think of what happened with the Saints last year. You know, when Drew Brees went down, I mean, they still wound up winning. They went 13-3 last year. But Drew Brees was out for, 5 or 6 weeks with a thumb injury, you know.
Yep.
So if it's something worse than that and he misses an extended period of time, I mean, I know they have Jameis Winston coming in, but he's not Drew Brees. I mean, no one is. Mm-hmm. So
no one is. But Jameis got LASIK surgery, so now he can read street signs and license plates. So that's good. Maybe now he can read a cover too.
All of the Jameis Winston jokes, you know, I would say poor Jameis Winston. But he screwed up enough in his life where no one should feel sorry for him.
And he wanted him on the Steelers.
Second, third, and fourth chances. I still would like him on it. Dude, I'm telling you, I'd rather have this dummy than have Mason Rudolph. You know?
Oh, 100%. That's easy. Yes, I'm with you. Go get Andy Dalton.
Yeah, that may happen. I mean, Welsh and I talked a little bit about that, and you know, he may be signed by the time this airs, of course. But what are your initial thoughts on Andy Dalton and where he should go?
The Patriots, I figured, would have signed him by the time he got off of his plane, wherever he went to. He seems like the perfect New England Patriot. I think he'd be another good guy to play for you and let Stidham get some more reps if they wanted to. And if he showed up there, they'd actually be a competent football team, and that terrifies me.
Yeah, Jacksonville, a big rumor as well.
That makes sense as well, yes.
Yeah, he played for Jay Gruden, who's going to be the OC there now, too. I'm trying to find the Saints. Oh, the Saints are kind of close to the bottom here. Let's see, if the Falcons were 27, then 26, 25, 24, 23 among grades in this class. And that's only with four picks. I thought they went a little overboard trading four picks to get Troutman. But, you know, we'll see if he pays out. Obviously not. Looks like they didn't get – am I reading this right? God, see, I need the LASIK like Jameis.
Like Jameis?
Yeah. Okay. So their low grade was a C-. And they got only one A minus from Reuter, and then C- from Andy Benoit here. But everybody else is B's and C's. But 2.79, pretty low score if you're the Saints as far as this draft goes. But I think with four picks, it's just hard to. I mean, that's why the Vikings are one. Yeah, the Vikings.
Well, and
are
in,
one.
In reality, it's three picks. Tommy Stevens shouldn't even count.
Right. Yeah. Tommy Stevens shouldn't count, especially after knowing that story.
How does that story get out? That is horrible.
I think Sean Payton was telling it because he wanted Tommy Stevens so bad. So
Sean Payton is like he wants to be Belichick, but he wants to be cool too. He's like Bill Belichick with a Letterman jacket, but his collars are popped.
He's like, yeah, I'll get coronavirus and survive it. How about that? How cool
exactly.
Am I now?
Then I got my smoke show wife. What's up, McVay? Like he just pretty soon he's gonna have a picture sitting in his living room in Arizona too.
That reminds me of Parks and Rec. You know, what's up, little mayor? You gonna freak out again? You know, I could just see him like wearing a leather jacket. What's up, McVay? You know, we win Super Bowls. What do you do? That's funny stuff. Just imagine in like a 50s lunchroom in high school. You know, Sean Payton definitely has long sideburns, slick back hair, and a leather jacket.
Big time.
100%. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we will talk about the Bucks and see what their odds are and just see how good this team's going to be with Tampa Bay. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is
in this league.
In the dark.
Welcome back. You can hear Endless Love. You know what that means. In this league, on the Sports Grid, coming to an end, the three-hour tour. Casey Bubba here with you. Follow him on the Twitter at BDNTrick. You can follow me at Bogman Sports. And please check out our Patreon if you can. InThisLeague.com will take you there, or Patreon.com/ITLArmy will get you there as well. I just posted Dynasty Fantasy Football ranks with the class. A little bit harder to construct that than I thought, Bubba. So because I had my lineup of where I had everyone among the rookie class, and I had to make sure that matched for the overall and for the positional and all that stuff. So I think I learned a lesson. Do the overalls first next year, and then put the rookies in that way. But I got it all fixed up on both sheets because I have two of those sheets up there on our Patreon as well. The Welsh updating his top 500 minor league list with profiles. We'll be having updated baseball list as well. Plus mock draft May. We just threw out a uncensored mock and got a lot of responses. I feel like people might actually like the uncensored more than when I drop in the clips and stuff, Bubba.
It was good. It was real good. Because, if anything, it was the Welsh getting tilted over and over and over again. It was awesome.
Yeah, he really did. And I was picking right next to John from, and you can find him on Twitter, at MLB Moving Averages. And he was taking my guys left and right. I think I called him very horrible names on that show. So apologies to our friend John.
Rightfully deserved inside the draft window.
yeah. In the draft window, all bets are off. You get to call anybody whatever you want, pretty much. So I was upset with a couple of the picks, but that was a lot of fun. And we're going to have Mock Draft May coming up at ITL as well. So just check out our Patreon if you can. It would be appreciated. You know, as little as $5, you get the secret shows, all the lists, all that good stuff. The last team that we have to talk about here, Bubba, the Tampa Bay Bucks, who obviously, brought in Tom Brady. And really the rest of what they did in the offseason was bringing back guys. They brought back Sue. Jason Pierre-Paul came back. They franchised Shaq Barrett. So we knew going into the draft, the two big things we're looking at is offensive line help for the Bucks and a running back. Because I think it's safe to say Ronald Jones, as in the experiment, is probably done with. Like, they're not going to flat out cut him, but they're not going to extend him when he comes up for it. The dude hasn't worked out there. And, I think it's a good thing that they're going to eventually move on from him. But this draft class, just to go over it real quick, at 14, where they traded up one spot because I believe they were at – or they traded up a couple spots. I think they were at 16.
Yeah, it was one spot. I think it was one spot, I think.
Yeah, so they traded with the Niners, and at 14, they wound up taking Tristan Wirfs, the tackle from Iowa, who we thought, or I thought at least, was going to the Giants at 4 overall. They wound up taking Andrew Thomas instead, so Wirfs kept slipping down the board. Wills went ahead of him. Mekhi Becton went ahead of him. So he kind of slipped into where we thought some wide receivers could go. Almost just knocked over my soda all over my computer.
That would have been so much fun.
That woke me up. Blood pumping right there. Haven't got that. Haven't got my my check from the government yet, so I can't buy one immediately if I do ruin this one. but anyway, I they wound up taking Tristan Wirfs in the middle of all of this, so that was a nice surprise to fall to them way down the board. And then in the second round, they went with Antoine Winfield, the safety from Minnesota, who you have gushed about a little bit on the show.
I like him a lot. He's really, really good.
Right, right. So he's good. It's also hard to imagine that this is the second Antoine Winfield in the NFL. Does that stuff make you feel old?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
You know, Asante Samuel Jr. is going to be eligible for the draft in 2021.
Well, you know what makes us feel old is frickin' Randy Moss's kids in the NFL now.
Yeah,
like that's all you need. That's all you need to say. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, it is. In the third round at 76 overall, they went with Keyshawn Vaughn, the running back from Vanderbilt. In the fifth round, I thought they got another Minnesota steal here. Tyler Johnson fell to them. And they don't have much behind Evans and Godwin, so I thought that was a great pick. They took the twin with the guy the Steelers took, Davis, the defensive tackle out of Nebraska, with 194 in the sixth round. And then their 2 7th-round picks, they took Chappelle Russell, the outside linebacker from Temple. And then I like this pick. I think maybe a little bit more than I like Keyshawn Vaughn. In the seventh round at 245, they took Raymond Calais, the running back from Louisiana. I thought that was a great pick as well, a nice little speedy back. So what do you think of this draft class, Bubba?
It's phenomenal. Like, it hurts to say, because like I told you during the break, it feels like the Patriots juju showed up in Tampa Bay, because whatever happened worked. You know, Wirfs falling to them. You said he should have went to the Giants. He shouldn't have got past the Jets, to say the least. Like, yeah. He should have been gone. To fall in the lap there to protect Tom Brady for a year or two is outstanding. I love Winfield. We talked about that. Keyshawn Vaughn. And Raymond, I'm going to butcher it, Calais. I think that is two phenomenal running backs there. Like you mentioned, Jones, he didn't really seem to be in the favor of Arians to begin with. This should pretty much seal the deal there. I love the Tyler Johnson move. Like, obviously, I watch a lot of Big Ten football with the Badgers, but Johnson is such a really good – he can stretch the field. He can also be a great possession receiver. He's going to help so much. You can just let Mike Evans go deep. Godwin and Johnson can do whatever else in between that you need to do. That's a huge acquisition there. And then, you know, you shore up some defensive pieces. It's a great draft, a phenomenal draft for a team like we were talking about before the break that is favored to win the division and second favored to win the conference. And you can see why. They're already a pretty solid team, filling a few holes here. They're ready to compete.
Fourth highest odds to win the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay Bucks at plus 1,200. Who are the three teams ahead of them? I bet you can get all of them.
Chiefs, Ravens, Niners.
That's it. Chiefs, Ravens, Niners. Chiefs plus 600, Ravens plus 700, Niners plus 1,000. To win the division, it's, you know, they're first, but it's plus 105. The Saints are plus 110. So it's right there. But I guess if you're going to pick them, you know, to be the fourth highest odds, you got to give them better odds than the Saints to win the division, too. The win total for Tampa Bay, I believe, is, 10. Same as the Saints. 110 on both sides, minus 110 on both sides. So I guess you'd probably go over on Tampa Bay then, right? Or would you stick with the under?
I would go over. And one thing I would suggest, if anybody wanted to pick the Saints or the Bucks to win the division, just pick them to win the Super Bowl. Because if they're good enough to win the division, they have a great chance to get the whole way.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, and
take the better odds, or at least to win the conference. Maybe not Super Bowl, the conference, and you get some more better odds that way.
Right, right. I mean, you know, we've seen Patrick Mahomes beat Brady before, but the
it was a great game too. Do we want to relive it? You want to call Joe real quick?
yeah, that'd be great. but Tampa Bay wound up with 1, 2, 3, 4, the sixth highest class among the GPA that Bugler put up here. B+ from Chad Reuter. B+ from Luke Easterling from the Draft Wire, and a couple more B's on the back end from the tougher graders, but A+ from Thor, which is, he was the toughest grader. I think he gave an A+ to Minnesota, to Tampa Bay, and he gave an A- to the Eagles and an A to the Jets, with a couple other Ravens, Cowboys cards all sprinkled in there as well. But A+. From Thor, who is the hardest grader, is kind of surprising. And an A+ from Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News as well. So people are really liking this. I mean, but do we really think that bringing in Tom Brady at 42. You know, we're not bringing in Tom Brady at the beginning of his career here. That is enough to go into a new system with a new coach in a tough division with Breeze. And, you know, the Panthers, even though they're only favored to win 5.5 games, still have a good core. And, you know, the Falcons in there, who were recently in the Super Bowl, wasn't that long ago, they're in there. Are we that confident that they're going to be division winners? Who would you pick? Would you pick the Saints or the Bucks to win this division?
I'm going to pick the Saints, but I think it's really close because I want to give the Patriots – I believe the hype is real. Not the Patriots.
Yeah,
the
you
Buccaneers.
Called them the Patriots. I mean, I was about to point that out, but you got yourself.
You see all the logos, all the Patriots. Yeah. They're kind of good, you know, smart.
Those are great, yeah.
I think they're phenomenal. I would actually buy a T-shirt in those colors. but you have to think about a few things. Arian's not dumb. He's going to let Brady incorporate a lot of things that work well with him, with his system also, so kind of a mix and match. The weapons are obviously there. And I think the biggest thing with Brady over Winston is those 30-plus interceptions maybe cut back to 15, and that is a game-changer for football games. That's a huge difference in winning and losing games because we saw how many games Tampa Bay lost by, like, maybe a touchdown or less. You take away those turnovers, they probably win at least half those games, and that's a big turn right there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, I think I'm going to have to take the Saints to win this division too, though.
I just like that Saints team too much, playing on turf. I know the fans won't be there, but that team's so electric. I think Breeze has a much better arm still than Brady does. I trust him a little more in the pocket than I do Brady, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, the offensive line, too. Like, you know, we talked about how good the Bucs draft has been, and it's rated very high. But, you know, they took Wirfs. But after that, the line is just okay in Tampa. It's not like what it is. I mean, Jensen's a great center, but Donovan Smith protecting the blind side, and I'd assume they have him do that again with Wirfs at right tackle. He's fine. You know, he's not great, but he's probably about what they had last year in New England for Tom Brady. The line is probably about the same. Maybe if Wirfs is real good, maybe it's a little bit better, you know, but it's just okay. So they didn't, you know, what does Gronk have left in the tank? Do we think that he actually has a lot? I mean, I do remember your first comment in the GroupMe room was, I'm really excited for people to overdraft Gronk because we know that's going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like Gronk, I compared him to late career Antonio Gates.
Right.
They're going to bring him in the red zone, and he's probably going to get like 10 touchdowns this year, but he might catch 25 balls. He's probably better than that. But you know what I'm saying is he's not going to be playing between the 20s. He's going to be in the red zone with an occasional play here and there. He's not stretching the field. He's not catching the ball and running over four guys for 65-yard gains. Those aren't happening this year. If they do, I will be thoroughly shocked, and I will eat crow like I do on many things I say. But the reality of the situation is he can put up on as much weight as he wants. The back issues are legit. Like, literally, that's what caused him to retire, is the back was that messed up.
Right.
I don't care if you took a year or two off. Your back is still messed up. He never got cut on, as far as I'm aware. So he didn't just, like, magically heal it unless he took DDP yoga and it worked out great. I don't know. But
now, he was a wrestler, so.
Yeah. So, you know, between defending the 24-7 championship and trying to catch touchdowns from Brady, it's going to be a crazy time. He's going to be fun. He's going to be good. Don't expect the Gronk of old.
Did you like the when Brady was blowing the seashell like Ron Burgundy in the Anchorman?
That was phenomenal.
That was pretty funny.
I don't know who helped Brady with his social media accounts, but since this last season when he started utilizing them more, it's been outstanding.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
I even liked the draft when he was talking smack to Russell Wilson. He was like, Russ, does she have you out in the car doing this? Why are you out in your car doing this? And he was like, hey, man, you know, at least I don't have the zebra print in the background at my house. And then Eisen was like, hey, Russ, Brady's not even at the right house, man. He just stumbled into somebody's house. And he was like, well, the Wi-Fi is working. I don't care. So that was, yeah, he's getting more relatable and stuff like that, too, which I think will happen. I think people will. Everyone right now hates Brady because he has 6 championships and your football team doesn't. Unless you're a Patriots fan, your team doesn't have 6 championships in the last 20 years like his does. So yep. Everyone in the NFL hates the dude. I think once he retires and moves away from football, whether he's working in the booth or whether he's, you know, doing whatever it is, maybe he just takes a break, maybe he doesn't want to do football for a long time, which would be fine. You know, people have... plenty of people do that. So if he's just done with it and wants to set it down, I think people will start to like him more because, you know, it'll be, oh, that was back in the day and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And they'll appreciate his career more because we did get to see greatness. I mean, you know, it's a lot like, it's not the same as watching Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan is out there athletically dominating every team every single night. But Brady, it was just like, he's automatic. You get him in there, and it's automatic, and nobody wants to play the Patriots.
No.
And that's all done with now.
Well,
so.
With Brady, if they were within a touchdown with 2 minutes to go, you knew you had no chance. Like,
right.
Brady was going to, like, you knew it was over. Like, you could not give him the ball. Like, that was the whole, that's how it all started. Like, Rodgers and Brees, there's a lot of the same sentiments, but with Brady, it was always too much time on the clock. Like, you're screwed.
Yeah,
like,
luckily for me, whenever the Steelers played him, they weren't within a touchdown anyway, so it didn't matter. You know, I remember the first time we lost to the Patriots in the playoffs, because the year before we lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship, that was like the big Troy Brown game. He blocked a punt, he returned a punt, but Drew Bledsoe played in that game, and then he got hurt because Brady had been playing. But Bledsoe had come back, and they thought they were going to play Bledsoe for the Super Bowl. So Bledsoe played in that AFC Championship, but we knocked him out of the game again. Brady came back in and wound up playing in the Super Bowl as well and winning it against the Rams, of course. Can you just think about how long ago that was?
Yeah, that's forever ago.
I know.
That was crazy when it all started. You know,
that
Vinatieri, the kick, everything. That's why. Was that a year or so after the Titans-Rams one? Like,
yeah,
it was all pretty close there.
Yeah, it was the year, I think, after 9-11.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it was. I think, or that was the season that 9-11 had happened.
Yeah, it'd be the same season, you're right.
Right, because the Super Bowl was in 2002, if I'm remembering that correctly. I could be getting my dates mixed up. But I remember I was working at the grocery store. I bet this old man $50 that the Patriots would win, and he paid me $50, and then he screamed at me about how the NFL was rigged because the Patriots won because 9/11 had just happened.
Well, he knew about the cameras before the rest of us.
Yeah, he was a savant for sure. He wasn't just a grumpy old bastard that I took a bunch of money off of. So, but that is going to wrap it up for us. I didn't realize we were up against it already. I'm going down a rabbit hole talking about this old man I made a bet with 20 years ago. So that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, you can find us all on the Twitter. At Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And we'll be back with you on Monday to talk more sports on the daily on ITL. We will see you then. Take it easy. Have a good weekend. Wash your hands, everybody.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.